The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
All right, that was a battle of Pennsylvania on the NBC Sports Rivalry Night, which we will get to in a couple of minutes. How you doing, Pierre?
I'm excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I want to go back 24 hours. We were outlining, what lies ahead for the Canadiens as an organization and how a lot of teams in the East are trending in the right direction and they're not, and you slipped this in.
I think Washington will dissipate a little bit next year. I think Carolina might dissipate a little bit because I think there's some friction there with a brand new owner.
Just a couple of hours after that conversation, Ron Francis lost his job as the general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes. You want to expand on that now?
I was devastated last night when I heard the news. I heard it during the first period, in the first TV timeout of the first period. Eddie Olczyk actually got in touch with me. He was upstairs, I was downstairs, and then I checked my iPhone, and the only reason I wasn't looking at my iPhone is because I was working with, you know, Michael Kendricks last night in the box as well in the first period, so I was kind of busy. And I was really devastated. I was dumbfounded. I was, more than anything else, shocked. I mean, I had the privilege of coaching Ronnie, winning two Stanley Cups with Ronnie, watching Ronnie going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And, you know, he's a spectacular person around the league. I was really shocked by this. I knew there was dysfunction. It wasn't on him. I knew this was going to be a problem. That's why I said to you what I said to you yesterday. I could see it in the TV interviews, but I still got a bad taste in my mouth about it.
And of course, Pierre and Ron Francis have a long-standing relationship. They won a cup together, among other things.
Two cups.
Tom Dundon is the new owner of the Hurricanes. Pierre LeBrun did a Q&A in The Athletic today with him, and Pierre will join us in about an hour. Before we get to the Habs and the Panthers, Pierre, I was watching a good chunk of that game when I came home last night. Mike Milbury likened it to A Fish Called Wanda. It's a good movie, but that was not a compliment from Milbury.
What was he talking about, the game?
Yeah, the game. He said it was a dud.
Well, I beg to differ. I thought Pittsburgh was really good. I thought Philadelphia wasn't great. It didn't have the physical angst that we usually see in a Pittsburgh-Philly game until the end. I thought, you know, when Brian Rust got hurt and Mike Sullivan had to show his coaching genius, he did that by moving Connor Sherry off the fourth line where he started the game with Tommy Kunackle and Riley Sheahan to the top line with Crosby and Jake Guentzel. And that move proved to be the deciding factor of the game. So I thought there was a lot of good stuff in the game, and I was really impressed by Mike's coaching last night. I was impressed by Sidney's play. I saw a lot of good things in that game last night. I thought it was better than maybe Mike thought it was.
Comes back to Crosby. Malkin loose in front. Backdoor scores. Kessel's got it. And Pittsburgh opens the scoring.
He came off the ice after the last power play Phil Kessel did. He says, I got to shoot the puck. That time he got, and he's looking at the yawning cage, and a great pass by Malkin, and you're not going to pass that shot up, Eddie.
The rebound goes to Malkin, to Hagelin, back to Malkin, and goal scorers know where the net is. Evgeny Malkin scores, it's 5-2 Pittsburgh.
And there's our friend Chris Cuthbert in the booth last night, Pierre.
He was good. He was good last night.
Almost
was on it.
Almost symbolically, the Penguins with the win move into first place in the division.
Yeah, no, they're a good team. Mike's a good coach. You know what? It's interesting. I was just at the Harvard hockey practice, and usually I either do Harvard, BC, BU, Northeastern when I'm up here, and they're all playing this weekend. It's interesting. BU's playing, BC's playing, and Northeastern's playing, and so is Harvard, and they're in their playoffs. And I was thinking about all the different guys that have come through the programs over the years that I've scouted, and I thought about Mike, who was at Boston University, not far from the Harvard rink. And I think Mike's just totally come into his own as a coach. Obviously, he's won two cups, but he's so much more comfortable with his decision-making. He's doing a great job. And the other guy, and you know that I'm biased towards him, but Recchi running the power play in Pittsburgh, they're number one in the league. And you should see him orchestrate up behind the bench during TV timeouts or after the guys come off. Pittsburgh's trending the right way right now. They are. They really are.
And the reason I specifically mentioned that they've moved into first place, 1 point ahead of Washington for now, and the Flyers are now three back, is we've talked about Braden Holtby. And Brent Johnson, he's your teammate at NBC, former NHL goaltender. Yeah, I know you're not on Twitter. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about this with Pierre LeBrun in less than an hour. But he wrote some really valid, I think, interesting points about goaltending today, even to when he last played, 6 or 7 years ago, how much more difficult it is. And I don't even think he knew about the comments from Vasilevsky, who admitted last night that he's tired. He's played 55 games, or he's about to play his 55th game, and he admits that he's fatigued right now. That is much more difficult to play goal and maintain a level of focus and concentration today than ever before. Do you want to pick up on that?
Totally agree. Guys shoot the puck harder than ever before. So it's not just games, it's practice too. You get worn out. When you're Vasilevsky and you're playing in the heat and humidity most of the year, not all of it, but most of the year, that leads to more fatigue too. There's more jamming of the net than ever before. We've talked about how players always talk about taking the eyes away or getting to the front of the net or getting to the blue paint, quote unquote, which is what they say. So there's a lot that needs to go into a goalie being tired, and we're seeing it. I said when Marty Brodeur was doing his 65-plus start seasons year after year after year that eventually it would catch up, and it did. Marty should have played probably 3 or 4 more years at a much higher level had he not had all those starts. But I think there's something to it. I really do, and I can tell you, the game has changed because of the way the guys shoot the puck. It's faster, yes, but they shoot the puck harder and faster.
Yeah, let me read you just one of several tweets that Brent Johnson sent out earlier today, calling it his opinion. For those concerned, Braden Holtby is an excellent, top-tiered NHL starting goalie. One thing I've been saying for some time now is that in today's game, with the incredible speed, pace, and chaos, starting goalies get more fatigued than ever before. We'll pick up on that a little later in the show. Rod?
Yeah, and Pierre, I suspect the teams have started and will continue to kind of recalibrate how much cap space they allot to the goaltending position to have more equilibrium there.
For sure. Yeah, I think you have to. But it speaks to the importance of having 2 and probably 3 goalies in your system that are capable of playing NHL minutes. It's one thing to have a stopgap that, you know, is just there for a game or two, but really isn't an NHLer. And it's another thing to have legit players that can actually play in games. And if there's ever an injury to a key guy, you can still survive. So absolutely, I think there's a lot of merit to that.
All right, on to the Canadiens and Panthers tonight. Early in the show, I asked Mitch Gallo what he wants to see specifically. And for those who weren't listening 2 hours ago, which includes Pierre,
I said I want to see Jonathan Drouin bounce back. The coach went to bat for him yesterday. His effort has been questioned the last couple of days, and he's going head-to-head probably with Barkov. So as a number one center, I want to see him do a good job trying to neutralize Barkov and show a good effort in this game.
Oh, man, Gallo, that's awesome. You know what they used to call that in the old days? Playing guilty. You owe the guy a favor if you're the player and the coach has gotten to bat for you like that. So you better play guilty. So I love what you said. That's absolutely true. That was what guys used to do in the old days. The coach would dive on a grenade for you, so you better step up and deliver. Or the coach would give you a night off and tell the boys, go out and have some fun. Here's a team credit card, but you better show up the next day. And guys did. This is one of those payback moments. I completely agree with that. That's an awesome point.
But that's a lot easier said in Florida right now for a desperate Panthers team, and considering who the other guy is.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. But let me ask you a question. If you are Jeff Molson, and Mitch, if you were Jeff Molson, and you knew what you were paying Jonathan Drouin, wouldn't you expect him to be able to match up to Sasha Barkov?
I would want to see because physically he doesn't. And he's not he's just not that player. He's out of position. But yes, in terms of an effort and hunger and passion, that's a whole other issue.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Just compete against the guy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, he's not going to neutralize him, though.
No, but just show up and compete against him.
So we've been over some of the criticism that Drouin has taken, a lot of it valid, and Mitch has talked about the line change, one that really bothers me and a lot of other people, the one-handed kind of lame stick check where you don't really get after someone, you don't defend them, you just kind of do the bare minimum of effort. At what point do these bad habits become routine to a player, and as a coach, what can you do to prevent that?
Oh, there's so much, and it focuses in starting with practice. You know, it's funny. I'll just tell you, I was just at practice. I just walked out of practice at Harvard, and there's a real good player, and his name is not Ryan Donato, who's great, and he'll be turning pro as soon as Harvard's year's over with the Bruins. But there's another great player on their team. There are a bunch of them, but there's one in particular, and I watch a lot of their practice, and he's got those bad habits you're alluding to. He's really good. He'll be in the NHL. And I'm saying to myself, I hope that somebody's going to address this at some point. Because I'm sitting there with a friend of mine who's a hockey guy, and sure enough, the coach comes over, doesn't scream, doesn't yell at him, says, you got to do this. And you can see they're having a conversation. And that's what you do. You got to snap guys to attention. You don't have to scream and yell. You don't have to throw sticks. You don't have to hit them. But you got to get your message across. You got to address it. You got to nip it in the bud.
A couple of lineup notes just coming in since the Canadiens didn't hold a morning skate. First of all, it will be Charlie Lindgren in goal. I guess Antti Niemi not quite ready to come back from his injury, at least as a starter. And also a scratch in the game tonight, Philip Danault, as it looks like he's having a stiff neck and headaches. So that's not a good sign.
Nope, that's not a good sign, and that's going to lead to, was a protocol broken? And they have to, that's an internal evaluation that they'll have to make with the medical staff. Did they rush him back? That's okay. Every team, it happens. It's unpredictable stuff. But you got to check on the protocols now, I don't know. You just do. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, you can tell he wasn't, he just wasn't himself the last couple of games. And I wonder if it has anything to do, if it in fact is a follow-up to the issue with the shot, or he got tied up and got really frustrated. Who was it? Travis Zajac tripped him.
Yes.
And they ended
yes.
up wrestling with each other. And yes. You can't help but wonder if that had something to do with it as well.
You never know, right? But I think, again, you just have to make sure. I'll tell you right now, Pittsburgh took Brian Rust right out of the game after Robert Haig planted him into the glass in the first period. They took him right. There was no second, third, or fourth thought. You are going to the dark room to be evaluated by our doctor, who travels with our team, by the way. Pittsburgh travels their doctor during the regular season with the team. So he went right. They didn't even mess around. And I saw Brian after the game, and he seemed fine, but they weren't putting him back in. So they've learned because of the Crosby situation. I think that's something more and more teams need to do during the regular season. They need to travel their own medical people. A lot of teams still don't do it.
Pierre, Calgary beat Buffalo 5-1. A bunch of guys had two-point nights for Calgary. They're 1 point out of a wild card. One of the guys who had a two-point night was Sam Bennett. With the Canadiens, the situation, and you're going to hear, if not already, his name linked. Anybody who might be available down the middle of the ice who has some talent is going to be linked to the Montreal Canadiens in the offseason. What do you think of Sam Bennett?
I used to think a lot of Sam. I thought Sam coming out of junior was a really good player. I think Sam, for whatever reason, it's kind of just got stuck in the mud. He hasn't become the player that he should have been. He should have been a dominant puck possession player. Who could generate a lot of points for whatever. And I thought Jaromir Jagr was going to go to Calgary and kind of help him a little bit, but for Jaromir, he could just never get on track there, whether it was due to injury or father time or whatever. So that didn't really help him, talking about Bennett. I thought he could help Bennett a lot, but obviously that didn't happen. I think Sam still got upside left, but I probably would have missed on him because I probably would have drafted him and I probably would have got it wrong. I don't think he's been what I thought he was going to be. But he's still young enough, he can get it back. He's just got to get going here.
So if you're the Canadiens, and obviously Tavares is a target, should he be totally free with several other teams chasing him? But in terms of trying to find somebody else, you aim higher than Sam Bennett.
What's the price point? That's the other, but yes,
okay.
I would try to get a little bit higher. I would. Now, that's to be said, I'm telling you, coming out of junior, I thought the world of that player. I did. So I still think he can get it back. I just don't know if, you know, if he will for sure.
There was no question this is Mark's team. And they're out of the playoffs. And they look like a team that doesn't have a quick road. So Jeff Molson saying, I think he can put us on the right road. I think he's fortunate to have the opportunity. It's just like I think Gar Snow, remarkably, is still the general manager in New York. Like, what's the bar? Being in the league? Because that's all the Islanders have done for 11 years that he's been there. Yes. Right? They've won one playoff series in 25 years.
Ray Ferraro with us an hour ago from Vancouver, Pierre, and there are some not-so-impressive similarities to what happened to the Canucks in the immediate aftermath of their trip to the Stanley Cup Final, which they lost to Claude Julien's Bruins, and the feel of what's happening here, perhaps. Do you get that?
Well, I've told you there's a lot of pain coming. I'm not buying into the rhetoric that's being sold, that they got all these great young players and we're trending the right way. I've been telling you for a long time, there's some serious pain coming. Unless something miraculous happens in the off season, he clearly, I don't know what he said, I don't know what he put on paper, but Mark clearly did something to catch the attention of Jeff Molson in terms of saying, you can get this done. I trust you. And I will tell you this, and I think it's a very honorable trait. Jeff Molson is a very loyal person, and he's not going to blow his thing up, his team, that is, just because other people are telling him he should. He's going to evaluate everything. He's going to be fair. He's going to be loyal, and he'll be honorable. And if he detects that it's not going well, then potentially he'll do some. Obviously, it's not going well now, but there had to be something that went right in that conversation. I know that because things aren't I'm just being totally frank with you. And I know there'll be haters out there say, oh, he's just mad at the team. I'm not. You have no idea some of the things that go on behind the scenes for those that are saying that. I'm just telling you, it's not going the right way right now. So they got a lot of work to do. They got a ton of work to do.
Yeah, and I mean, Molson bought whatever Bergeron was selling, apparently. I mean, that must be how the conversation went. But what I don't get here, into year seven, September would be starting year seven, how he can still retain carte blanche, how he can still be, okay, he's my hockey guy, he's going to make every decision. Like, that's also part of it that we don't really understand.
Who is talking to Jeff? Who's his inside guy? Who's somebody that's telling him, don't worry, they're going in the right direction? That would be for the reporters and the media people in Montreal to say, who's Jeff's go-to guy outside of Mark? Who's somebody that he relies on for NHL
hockey?
Well, I don't know who that is.
Well, that is the whole issue in a nutshell there. Because I have respect for Jeff Molson as a businessman, but I don't know, and I don't mean disrespect when I talk about him as a hockey man, but he's not a hockey man. He's a businessman. He shouldn't be the president of hockey ops. That, in effect, is what either Mark Bergevin is or Jeff Molson is. And I believe, unfortunately, that gaping hole between the two has led the Canadiens to where they are right now.
I would not argue with you at all. There has to be a check and balance in every organization. There has to be. So I don't know if there's somebody behind Jeff that is informing Jeff, but if there is, that person has gone astray. He's not informed because he doesn't understand how the league works. And I don't mean Jeff. I'm talking about this hypothetical person that maybe is helping him. But I would just tell you that I'm being realistic here, and I'm not going to sell the public something that's fraudulent. And right now it's not set up to be positive going forward. There might be some, you know, 5- and 6-game momentum swings where you're really happy. But over an 82-game schedule, this is not set up well right now. It's just not. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he needs more help. All right, Pierre, how about the game today? The Panthers, again, desperate. I expect to see them jump on the Habs, just like the Devils did the other night in New Jersey. They're even more desperate situation, and they are on somewhat of a roll. They lost in overtime to Tampa, but they've been – what do you expect tonight?
Well, here's the problem, and you're so right on. This is going to be like New Jersey South. They're coming right after Montreal's defense. without Weber, without Nete, without Carey Price, without Philip Deneau now. They're coming. You'll see. They're going to come right after you. You got to have something to go with Barkov. We've already talked about that. Trocheck's an outstanding player. Bukestad's coming off his best game probably of his career, a hat trick against Tampa.
How about Dadonov? Did you expect him to be this productive coming back?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's a good player.
So who's the guy on Harvard? Who's the guy on Harvard?
I'm not telling you that.
Well, I got their roster in front of me. I'll just name names.
You know what? You know who the most improved player is? It's a Montreal guy. Zerder Gossage. He's good. He's from where he was as a freshman to where he is now. He was in Montreal's rookie camp, by the way, I think a year ago. That kid's good. I think he's from NDG. He's really. I was really impressed with him today. I thought he had. They played Dartmouth in a best 2 out of 3 starting tomorrow. He was really, really good today.
Yeah. What's his name?
Zerter Gossage is his last name.
Hmm. Well, I don't see him here.
You better see him.
I see Dombrowski. But maybe it's the wrong year. No, 2017-18 Harvard men's hockey.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I think they got a ringer. Maybe they have a ringer.
His family's probably listening.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm staring at the roster and I don't see the name. Do you?
Well, I see some nice point totals for Gossage. He's got 8 goals, 19 assists, and 27 points in 28 games playing with
Harvard.
There
you go.
All right. Apologies.
I'm telling you right now.
Apologies to the family. Oh, my screen wasn't. I didn't lower it. Number 77. Number 77, the last guy on the team. Yeah, Lewis. His name is Lewis. All right. Thanks, Pierre. Yeah.
You're welcome. Now, I'll tell you one other piece of bad news for Canadiens fans. Ryan Donato, I've been telling you for 2 years he's good. He's better now than ever.
Yeah.
He stands out.
That's great.
Stands out unbelievable.
Yeah. It's great the Bruins are that much better than the Habs. Great thing.